Our first reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses called together all the people of Israel and said to them, "Obey faithfully all the laws that I have given you today, so that you may live, increase in number, and occupy the land that the Lord promised to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you on this long journey through the desert these past 40 years, sending hardships to test you, so that he might know that what you intended to do and whether you would obey his commands. He made you go hungry, and then he gave you manna to eat, food that you and your ancestors had never eaten before. He did this to teach you that you must not depend on bread alone to sustain you, but on everything that the Lord has. During these 40 years, your clothes have not worn out, nor have your feet swollen. Remember that the Lord your God corrects and punishes you, just as parents discipline their children. So then, do as the Lord has commanded you. Live according to his laws and obey him. The Lord your God is bringing you into a fertile land, a land that has rivers and springs, and underground streams gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land that produces wheat and barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey. There you will never go hungry or ever be in need. Its rocks have iron in them, and from its hills you can mine copper. You will have all you want to eat, and you will give thanks to the Lord your God for the fertile land that he has given you." This is God's word for you.
We thank you, Lord.
Our epistle comes from Philippians chapter 4. "Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. In conclusion, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. Put into practice what you learned and received from me, both from my words and from my actions. And the God who gives us peace will be with you. In my life in union with the Lord, it is a great joy to me that after so long a time you once more had the chance of showing that you care for me. I don't mean that you had stopped caring for me. You just had no chance to show it. And I'm not saying this because I feel neglected, for I have learned to be satisfied with what I have. I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have more than enough. I have learned this secret, so that anywhere at any time I am content, whether I am full or hungry, whether I have too much or too little, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." This is God's word for you.
We thank you, Lord.
And our gospel for this evening is found in Luke chapter 17 that reads, "As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' Jesus saw them and said to them, 'Go and let the priests examine you.' On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus spoke up, 'There were 10 who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this foreigner the only one who came back to give thanks to God?' And Jesus said to him, 'Get up and go. Your faith has made you well.' This is the good news of Jesus Christ for you."
We praise you, Jesus.
Now we're going to...
Well, good morning, folks. The 8:15 has been delayed. The 8:15 has been cancelled for the bus services on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Right. driving.
Well, you laugh at that, but shouldn't we be like that all the time?
Yeah.
Right? You're suddenly going, what's so wrong about that? But even the folks who were being thanked thought it was kind of weird, didn't they? Right? Yeah, it was just, I saw that. Yeah, why don't we thank more often than that? But the best part about the end is, who's he thanking? Yeah. Just with all the good stuff and all the bad stuff during the day, even the train being canceled, it's like being in Germany. He still thanked God at the end. And some families, and we did this a little bit, on Thanksgiving Day before dinner, around the table and say, well, what are you thankful for this year? And then I kind of thought better of that. I thought, maybe we shouldn't do that, because, you know, a lot of times we think about you, we ask you, what are you thankful for? You have kind of a chart in your head, right? And you kind of look at life this way. You get a big part of your stuff is everyday stuff. So that's not you're not thankful for it. It's just stuff. You know, you get up at 7 o'clock, the shower's warm, all this stuff. You don't think much about it. You take it for granted, right? So it's just everyday stuff. And then you got the bad things that happen, right? And that's a pretty good chunk of the events and things you remember during the course of the year. And then you got the things you're grateful for, right? Which, maybe that's 10%, and the bad things might be 15, 20%. It kind of depends who you ask, right? And I was like, how many times you do this? You go around the table and say, what are you thankful for? And we go, oh, let me see, right? Because it can't just be stuff like Mr. Thankful was thankful for. It's got to be stuff that really knocks it out of the ballpark, that you're really thankful for. I thought, what if we change it up one year? What instead we run the table and say, what are the bad things that happened to you this year? Oh, let me tell you, where do I start, right? Nobody's got any problem remembering the bad stuff. Why is that? You call any random person in your phone and they can tell you, oh yeah, this week let me tell you what happened to me. You know, coming here tonight, another close encounter with the deer's rear end. Because there was the blocker. I saw him, but I didn't see the second one coming out. But I missed it, so I'm thankful, right? I was thankful for that. Yeah, but we go, but what things are you thankful for? And you're like, because, you know, it's got to be that good stuff. And it's really sad that folks think about it that way, right? What did Paul say in Philippians we read earlier? For I have learned to be satisfied with what I have. I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have more than enough. I've learned this secret so that anywhere, at any time, I am content. Whether I am full or hungry, whether I have too much or too little. And a lot of people go, well, good for you, Paul. Right? But, you know, it should be a little embarrassing to think about what he went through in his life, too, right? I don't know. We know a little about his home life before he got called to be an apostle for Jesus. But we don't really read in the Bible much about him. Well, I'm going to take a few months off and head home now, right? Like missionaries tend to like overseas for a while and they get a couple months back in the States. You don't hear him doing that. He's always on the road, never sure where he's going to be staying, arrested quite often, shipwrecked, all sorts of great things happen to him. Ends up, you know, in prison at the end. And he says, whatever's going on, wherever I am, I'm a happy guy. He's Mr. Thankful, right? He's probably that guy in the video, in fact, thanking everybody. He probably, when he's in prison, the guy's brought him food and he went, right? Probably what he was doing. So for Paul, his chart looked like that. Things to be thankful for, everything, right? As opposed to making lemonade out of lemons, right? Which is what we kind of think we're doing when we think like that. They're like, well, if life hands you lemons, make lemonade. Which is a weird saying, because I like lemons anyway. I don't know why it's like a horrible thing. Florida, we had multiple varieties. We had Meyer lemons, which were like pinnacle, great lemons, do all sorts of great things with it. But I don't get the impression that was Paul's attitude at all, right? That he was just trying to make lemonade out of lemons. Because he clarifies it with the last verse after that, doesn't he? He says, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. Oh. Well, if you've got Jesus as your best friend, Jesus is walking by your side. He's giving you power to deal with all the stuff you're going through, which was important for him because everything he was going through was because of Jesus, right? Jesus who said, I will show you how much you have to suffer for my name. And he still said, I can do anything. I can do everything through Jesus who empowers me. Means include finding things to be grateful for, even in a tough life, right? Finding grace and gifts and blessings and everything that happened to us. Teach us a little something about life, shouldn't that? But not everything is a list of bad stuff that happens. Because that's what we kind of think, that life in general, if it goes according to plan, should be just a lot of normal stuff, smooth sailing, no bumps in the road. Maybe a few inconveniences, but not too many that we can enumerate, right? And maybe some really good stuff that happens once in a while, like a big vacation or something, right? We kind of think that way. We don't like to think about the bad stuff. In fact, when trouble happens, whether it's illness or deer hitting your car or it's losing your job or all these other things, not only is it troublesome, but we're indignant. Because life shouldn't be like that, right? And even some Christians think, well, you know, if I'm following Jesus, bad stuff shouldn't be happening, right? And even preachers out there that try to tell you that if you follow Jesus, all good stuff happens all the time. You'll have your best life now, which would bum me out because I'm thinking, I'm looking forward to a great life. My best life is still to come. If this is my best life now, I'm really depressed, you know? That can't be possible because Jesus promised us something much greater down the road, didn't he? A feast better than the ones we're going to have tomorrow. That we won't have to spend hours preparing or shopping for or trying to figure out what it was we forgot. Or after the company leaves going, hey, did you intend to put this out? Of course you did. Yeah, we'll need it tomorrow. Yeah, Jesus himself is going to prepare this for us, right? Our best life isn't now. Why are we indignant? We live in a broken, sinful world. You should figure that out by now, that stuff happens because we live in this broken, sinful world, and because we're sinful, right? Some things happen because of our own poor choices. You know, some things happen just because that's the way life is, and Jesus said, in this life, we will suffer. It happens. But if it wasn't for the suffering, sometimes you wouldn't appreciate the great stuff, would you? You know, I always said, one of the best things about winter is it really makes you appreciate spring and summer, right? If you move somewhere crazy like, say, Florida, where you never get winter, you know, you take it for granted, right? And then people are freaking out. It's 50 degrees today. What is this about? I moved here not to be cold, right? They're flipping out because they thought it should be warm all the time, 75 degrees, except in the summertime when it's 108 or whatever. That feels like temperature, right? Yeah, you appreciate and recognize the blessings partly because of the stuff you went through, right? And because of all the stuff we go through, we appreciate and recognize what Jesus has done for us too, right? If you've suffered a little bit, if you've had some kind of pain, arthritis or something, and you try to imagine the pain Jesus had on the cross, you go, ooh. Or even the pains that Paul went through, right? How are we to complain? And why did Jesus do it? Because he was getting old? Because that's the way life is? No, he chose to do this for all of you, right? For us. God so loved us that despite how we might reject him, he came after us, chased us down, offers us grace through Jesus' death. And then he offers us a future that you can't believe. An unbelievable life that will last forever. And it's not right for us to think either, well, then I'll be thankful like Paul all the time, right? No. Oh, we've got so many reasons to realize, enumerating our heartaches and our pains and our problems is missing out already on this great gift that Jesus has given us. So if we're going to follow Paul's example, we might see that there's a few things that we can realize that, move us to be Mr. and Mrs. Thankful all the time. First, we and everything we have are the products of a loving and thoughtful Creator, right? That we're here because of Him, right? All the good things we have, and we don't think about that every day, you know, the fact that there are some people I know who think this way. So if I wake up in the morning and I'm still breathing, it's a good day, right? but most of us take that for granted, right? In fact, we wake up and go, ah, that hurts. That's a bad day already, right? It's a bad day already, instead of saying, oh, Lord, what do you got planned today? Let's see what's on the agenda, right? What's going to happen to us out there? Maybe the train will be canceled. Who knows? And then something else exciting will happen. God continues to be involved in our lives, hears our prayers, and provides our daily bread, doesn't He? It's a funny thing. It's what we ask for all the time. Jesus taught us this prayer. We pray for that. Lord, give us our daily bread. Boom. Simplest thing on the earth. Bread every day. Keep us alive. We're like manna in the Old Testament, right? Just keeps us alive. But reality, can we get some steak with that too, and some maybe a side of chips or whatever? Like, you know, we don't realize how much God has already done for us and just providing this life sustenance for us. And we sometimes think, I would wish it was better. And it will be better. He promised us if we have faith that we stick with Him, right? It's coming, right? It's coming down the road. We all know that this wonderful life is coming. And in the meantime, He's getting us there. But also, I mean, imagine this. If God gave us a huge feast every day that cost us nothing and we had no pounds or calories because of it, didn't have to pay for it, people served it to us, and we had everything else, how much would you think about Jesus? How much would you think about His eternal kingdom? You wouldn't, would you? We'd have our best life now. Why would we want that? And there's some folks who do think their best life is now because they got all kinds of stuff. But God is wise enough to sustain us for that purpose, to be with Him in His kingdom, right? And every day to recognize His goodness, even when things get kind of rocky, you know? And there's no situation that Jesus cannot redeem. We sometimes forget that too when things are kind of going wrong. Jesus will turn all sorts of things around. And it's not making lemonade out of lemons either, is it? What did Jesus do? He never made lemonade out of lemons. He made wine out of water. Something super amazing out of something completely common, right? Can He not do that in your life? Will He not do that in your life? Many times our lives are like sour lemons, and sometimes we're the sour pusses, right? It's on us. And he can take us and transform us, as Paul said. He's going to transform these lowly bodies into something like His. He can certainly take our everyday situation, no matter how crummy it is, and redeem it for our benefit, right? Even if it's not the solution we were looking for, we realize that, He pulled us out of that, didn't He? He got us into something that was maybe better after all than what we thought that we wanted. And of course, we're already conquerors. The perfect life awaits us in God's eternal kingdom. It means every day is a blessing. Every day we wake up and we just have enough to get through the day, enough strength, enough food, whatever. We're one step closer to being where we want to be, aren't we? And you know, it's common, not just in our culture, and cultures forever, to have harvest festivals, which is sort of what Thanksgiving was, right? Jewish faith, they have, what's the name of that one? There's a harvest festival they have every year. It's part of this idea that this life is kind of cyclical this way, right? And every time winter comes, everything dies. And we just assume that, well, spring's coming, stuff will grow again. Why? Because it always has. Is there any guarantee next spring anything's going to grow? Absolutely not at all. But We know that God is sustaining us, right? For this purpose. And that's why we, one reason you celebrate the harvest is because it's the whole thing is a miracle when you think about it. And even when you think about how many places in this country alone are going through droughts and other challenges, and still, we've got food. Still, somehow, it works. Still, somehow, the seasons come. Still, somehow, God is working his plans in our lives. What an amazing thing. And all of that is for us. When we see that harvest, it's not, wow, isn't it cool if it happens? It happens for us. God intended this grains and fruits and all these other things to grow for us. In this time of the year, we get to the end of the church year, we kind of, things are winding down, and we do see things getting dark, and we talk about end times, we talk about death, but then we'll see life again, right? We see that cycle of life coming again, and remember that God's promise, and it wonderfully comes right around where? Easter, right? Where life came out of the tomb. What was dead comes to life. And even us in our own sin who were dead. Yeah, it's weird thinking about Easter on Thanksgiving, isn't it? But if we sit around the table tomorrow and go, you know, what can we be thankful for? You can think about the cross and the tomb, can't you? Think about what a great gift you received. Gift that came on a dark Friday, but not Black Friday. On a Good Friday. We are the most blessed creatures in the universe on a daily basis. Simply because the creator of the universe is there for us. He has put his all into our futures. A future that will be with him. When we broke down and sinned and completely rebelled against God, he never once said, well, that was what I planned. But I guess I can take lemons and make some lemonade, right? No way, he said. I could take these lemons and make something a whole lot better. Something that's the grandest thing in the universe. All of you are going to be that. We are so blessed. Every day. And we can be Mr. and Mrs. Thankful going around there, can't we? And if not to the folks that we bumped into, which would be nice, at the very least. Not waiting once a year to thank God, right? And sometimes in the little things, sometimes in the things that don't seem very convenient, but finding where is God in those situations, because he is there. And he is still working his plan for you in your life now, so that we can have that life with him eternally. So it's in the precious name of Jesus that we all say, amen.